Tim's News Explosion. 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 Tim's News Explosion.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Tim's News Explosion for another week on this Monday, the 18th of March, 2024. We are live on the Wilmsfront YouTube channel, the Wilmsfront Odyssey channel, and the Wilmsfront Rumble channel. Hello to everyone. Make yourself known in the comments. I see that Dawn Browning is here. It is 9 p.m. here in Melbourne, Victoria, and the warm weather continues. It is not high 30s, but it is high 20 degrees Celsius, a late summer here. But of course, that must mean it's global boiling, a climate catastrophe, mass extinction coming through. And we had the Extinction Rebellion brats on our streets last week for another one of their rebellion weeks where they block all the traffic. And so it culminated on Saturday where there was 32 Extinction Rebellion protesters who were charged. So there were 27 who were arrested by Victoria Police and charged on summons with obstruction of a road, and five more protesters had to be carried away, will be charged with obstructing an emergency worker and hindering police. I mean, it's good to see Victoria Police moving on, arresting some left-wing activists for a change. Well, given that blocking traffic is an offence that stops people going about their lawful business and essential and emergency services from going. And one of those who was there was Deanna Violet Coco. So she is this climate brat who travels all around Australia, participating in these blocking the road. She was there a couple of weeks ago. They hired a truck which emitted lots of carbon emissions on the Westgate Bridge, and now she was initially jailed for 21 days, but successfully argued before Magistrate Rohan Lawrence, that she should be granted bail on appeal. Now, her blocking of the Westgate Bridge obviously had help from some other activists, but she is the main headliner, 33 years old. You think that she maybe could do something more constructive with her life. So she has been criminally convicted in the ACT in South Australia, Western Australia, and New South Wales. And now all the cars that she blocked, they were sitting idle, and so the emissions were still going, and she forced a woman to give birth on the side of the road, which they said sorry for. Luckily, their child or the mother wasn't harmed there. And Dawn Browning says, My youngest was driving past the area. He was amazed how many cops there were. Yeah, they're actually taking action for once. But as granting of bail to Violet Coco shows, it is when they get before a magistrate, they get the slap on the wrist. I mean, it's all very well for police to arrest and charge these people, but the magistrates that have been appointed under Dan Andrews and other Labor premiers for years, they're very sympathetic to these climate activists and also the vegan activists. any sort of left-wing activism. And also these climate activist criminals, they get the sympathy of the human rights lobby groups. Where were the human rights lobby groups when there were people peacefully gathering in a park during the COVID lockdowns, weren't obstructing anyone, yet they got shot with rubber bullets? So what really pisses me off about these climate stunts is that they get invited on all of the TV shows to justify their actions. Violet Coco was on The Project. This is exactly what they want. And she was also on the breakfast TV shows where she said, oh, you're sweating at 7:30 a.m. That's proof of climate change. If we were when we're freezing during the winter mornings, they're not going to accept that as proof that the next ice age is happening. And I think that the media is really bad in the UK, where you have people like Piers Morgan invite these climate brats on to berate them, call them an idiot or whatever, but he's giving them exactly what they want. I mean, Piers Morgan likes it because he gets a viral video, and the climate brats like it because they're getting a national platform to share their message. Now, moving on from one doomsday cult to another, and that is the COVIDians. You'll have to excuse me. I'm a bit under the weather. I've got a dry cough and also a sore throat, but I haven't got long COVID, which has been the COVIDians. Most recent scare, fear mongering that there's going to be, well, obviously the climate activists call it the mass extinction. The COVID activists call this the mass disabling. And so they've been saying that long COVID, it fries your brain, it cripples your organ. And so in 10 years time, after we get repeated with COVID infection, we're going to have the mass disabling, except long COVID doesn't exist. This was the results of a research study led by Queensland Chief Health Officer, Dr. John Gerard. He followed 2,400 people who caught COVID-19 and about 2,700 people with other respiratory infections, including influenza. A year after infection, 3% of people with COVID positive reported moderate to severe impairment, long COVID. Among the people who had caught the flu or other respiratory illnesses, it was 4.1%. The researchers concluded there was no evidence that COVID-19 infection made impairment more likely. Gerard said long COVID appeared to be a severe and a distinct disease simply because of the huge number of infections during the pandemic. We believe it's time to stop using the term like long COVID. They wrongly imply there's something unique and exceptional about longer term symptoms associated with the virus. This terminology can cause unnecessary fear and in some cases hypervigilance to longer symptoms that can impede recovery. The research will be presented at the European Congress of Clinical Microbiology and Infectious Diseases in April. Now, the former chief health officer of Victoria, Brett Sutton, the health department that he led is still pumping out long COVID fear propaganda from those who say they suffer from long COVID, with the tagline, the best way to avoid getting long COVID is not get COVID at all. And this is why the COVIDians push the long COVID narrative as a backdoor COVID zero advocacy, because they still believe that we should all be forced to wear masks. Like, the only way to avoid COVID now is if you live like a hermit. So Brett Sutton said that I think there's a necessity to make sure that they feel seen and heard and understood as a cohort continue to suffer. We need some kind of descriptor to be able to recognize them, the fact that they've got specific needs within the health system. So basically saying, if they claim that they suffer from long COVID, then we should call them long COVID sufferers. And now last Friday, when John Gerrard revealed these findings, that was Long COVID Awareness Day. And of course, the ABC covered there was a long COVID lie-in, or what's a die-in, where they laid before the steps of Parliament, copying the other doomsday cult, Extinction Rebellion. And it's always the story with these people who say they've got long COVID. They say they were very healthy, with no pre-existing conditions, that they exercised, jogged, ran multiple times per week, and then their lives have never been the same. And in the there was the long COVID parliamentary inquiry, where another 50 million was given to long COVID research, because the COVIDians say that there's no treatment or cure for it. They claim that not even the vaccines work against long COVID, but they still say that Australians should be keep taking them. And our ATAGI, Technical Advisory Group on immunization, says that those between 18 and 64 year olds can receive a COVID booster every 12 months. And it seems like the reason that they're saying that is because they've ordered too many, and they need to get them into arms. Pete Gosman says, "Oh God, we're going to get COVID pride now, aren't we? Add COVID to the bloody pride flag." Yeah, probably they will develop a long COVID pride flag. I remember the ABC they went over to the United States to cover long COVID sufferers, and there were always obese black women who hung around an oxygen tank because they needed to breathe in oxygen whenever they went out. Maybe if you weren't carrying a huge oxygen tank, maybe you could breathe better, and also not have a mask that was impeding your breath. Now, over in the UK, the long COVID poster boy was Derek Draper. Sorry, Saint Derek Draper. So he back in the 90s was one of Tony Blair's dirty trickster spin doctors. He had to resign because he was saying that if you want to access the ministers, pay a cash donation to the Labour Party. He also admitted that he was taking lots of alcohol and drugs at the time. And then in the 2000s, he came up with a political scuttlebutt website with rumours about Tory MPs. There's plenty that are rumors. There's plenty of that have gone from rumors to being true. Now, he married a journalist, Kate Garraway, who's a presenter on ITV This Morning. And while he was alive, because he died in January, Derek Draper, so he contracted COVID in March 2020, and was in hospital for a year. So it was the UK's designated the UK's first long COVID sufferer, and so he died he suffered from a cardiac arrest in December 23, and then was admitted to hospital, and then he died. But the narrative is that he died from long COVID. And Kate Garraway, his journalist wife, she made two documentaries about his long COVID for ITV. One was called Finding Derek. The other one was called Caring for Derek. So she got an MBE for looking after her own husband, and also won a TV award. And of course, she sold this as she wanted to champion the cause of carers. And now, a week after he died, Katie Hopkins was called despicable by Piers Morgan for this joke that she made on Katie's arms a week after Derek's death that there was already another Kate Garraway documentary.
And, it's 8:30 tonight. There's a documentary on the TV that you all need to watch. Yeah, it's a Kate Garraway documentary. So it's important that I finish on time for you tonight. And it's Kate Garraway, Life After Derek. Yeah. There's also a book she's releasing to go with the documentary, Life After Derek. He's only been dead a week. I tell you, this is where I get such a bollocking. So people go, well, that's, wait, tomorrow in the comment, if I repost this or whatever I'm supposed to do with these things, people will be like, that is a line. That crosses the line. How dare you laugh? She just lost her husband. How dare you? That crosses the line. Or the other thing people were saying was, you should be ashamed of yourself. You should be ashamed.
Yeah, so Katie Hopkins was called despicable for stating that there was another Kate Garraway documentary, and there was actually a community note under that saying that there is no documentary. The Kate Garraway documentary that was to air has been cancelled. Now, what is going to air in a week's time is another Kate Garraway documentary called Derek's Story, and Kate Garraway says that this was Derek's dying wish. Now, he apparently needed round-the-clock care, needed a wheelchair. And he apparently spoke in drips and drabs and apparently told her before he died, make another documentary for me, Kate, to tell my story. So, yes, there's going to be another Kate Garraway documentary. So, basically, Katie Hopkins was called despicable for predicting what actually happened. So, yes. Derek Draper's long COVID lives forever, even though he has died. His wife, Kate Garraway, is still making documentaries. This probably isn't even the last one. And I remember in another video, Katie Hopkins said the only thing longer than long COVID is a Kate Garraway documentary. Now on to a new health emergency. Now, last week, I spoke to you about the Pitch Arts and Music Festival, which was the last day was cancelled due to the heat. But the real risk was, of course, people taking drugs. And there was a 23-year-old aspiring DJ, as he was called, who died from a drug overdose. Now, there was actually another music festival that was on the Labor Day long weekend. It was the Esteroic Music Festival, and 260 attendees have come down with Shigella gastritis, which is, it's shortened to gastro. So this is a bowel infection characterized by an acute onset of diarrhea, fever, nausea, vomiting, and abdominal cramps. It is usually self-limiting infection. However, severe illness and complications can occur at certain at-risk individuals. It is highly contagious and is mainly transmitted through the fecal oral route or contaminated food. It may also be transmitted through sexual contact, especially oral sex and oroanal sex. Symptoms usually develop 1 to 3 days following exposure, but can occur as early as 12 hours, as late as 1 week after in some cases. People are infectious while their Shigella bacteria continues to be shed in feces. It can last up to 4 weeks after symptoms resolve. So I guess they will be We'll be testing our shit again to see if there's any of this Shinkella gastroenteritis in our wastewater like they do with COVID. Now, it could be there could have been some sewage leak with the porta potties, or some of the attendees could have been performing on each other. You don't want to picture it, know about it. Lots of degeneracy goes on at these music festivals. Hello, Paleo Conservative Australia. Nice to see you back. You've been away for a number of weeks. We're all wondering what had happened to you, but good to see you back and well. Now, there was a number of elections in Queensland on the weekend. There was the local government elections, and then there was also two by-elections. So the main focus of the local government elections was the Brisbane City Council elections, with the Liberal National Party of Queensland retaining their control of the council and LNP Lord Mayor Adrian Schrinner re-elected for a second term. I think it's probably perplex people who live in Melbourne and Sydney that a centre-right political party can win control of the city council, because obviously in Melbourne we have far-leftist Sally Cap Crap as our mayor, and up in Sydney they have Clover Moore, who declares a climate emergency and wants to tear up parking to put in bike lanes. Then there was the Inala by-election, which was Anastasia Palaszczuk's seat. There was a 20% swing against the Labor Party, but they still held on to the seat because it's a very safe seat. But Labor lost the Ipswich West by-election that was vacated by the sitting Labor member Jim Madden to contest the Ipswich City Council. Now, Ipswich is the suburb where Violene White, the grandmother, was allegedly stabbed to death by a teen of African appearance who wanted to steal her car along with a bunch of other teens of African appearance for a 20-minute joyride. And remember Stephen Miles, the Premier, when he was asked about youth crime after a speech about housing, he laughed. And so it doesn't appear that laughing at deadly youth crime is an electoral winning strategy. So Stephen Miles, his first response has to be cancel the knockdown and rebuild of the Gabba for the 2022 Summer Olympics, which was going to cost $2 to $3 billion. So they're going to have the opening and closing ceremony at Suncorp Stadium, the rectangular stadium, which is going to be 50,000, and just expand the old athletics stadium, Queen Elizabeth Stadium. It's for the athletics, because government's giving taxpayer money to build stadiums is very unpopular at the moment. The Tasmanian state election is this Saturday, and the AFL has launched the Tasmanian Devils AFL team, even though it looks like the balance of power, because Tasmania has a proportional representation system, five electorates of seven members. It looks like it's going to be a hung parliament, with the Jackie Lambie network holding the balance of power, who said you can stick the stadium right up your bum. So if she holds the balance of power, the Hobart Stadium, which is going to cost $200 million plus, only going to fit in 25,000. The AFL said that if the stadium's not built, the team's not going to be there, even though there's a perfectly good international test cricket ground across the Derwent River, Belrive Oval, and then they've already got York Park up in the Northern Territory. Evening, Margot. So Margot says, has someone been faking me again? I don't know. Pete Osiman says, Tasmania has an election and no one cares. Well, it's the last, for the moment, it's the last remaining Liberal government in Australia. Although, Queensland and the Northern Territory, overrun by youth crime, which is 50 Shades of Black, the LNP in Queensland is and the Country Liberal Party in the Northern Territory are on track for electoral wins. So it's August, the election in the Northern Territory, and it's late October in Queensland. So at least the residents of Queensland and Northern Territory are mad as hell. I mean, here in Victoria, we've had wave after wave of youth crime, 50 Shades of Black, and Dan Andrews and the Labor Party have kept getting re-elected despite them running the state into the ground, both culturally and financially. Though they got a windfall, the Victorian Labor government, with the GST redistribution. So Victoria will get an extra $3.7 billion in GST allocation this financial year at the expense of New South Wales. So Chris Minns said that Victoria is now a welfare state receiving a bunch of money from the pockets of New South Wales. Now, our treasurer down here, Uncle Fester, Tim Pallas, said, now they're both Labor, so this is friendly fire. The mathematically challenged New South Wales Premier might not be the sharpest tool in the shed, but he is a tool. Now, Tim Pallas is preparing to release another horror state budget to rein in the state's crippling debt, which is close to $180 billion. Cut money for roads maintenance, but still full digging ahead for the suburban rail loop, $35 billion. So, and Dan Andrews, has returned to Spring Street, even though he's no longer an MP. He's this shadowy bearded figure, and now clearly he's doing an Obama, secretly running the government from the outside, because Obama, it's rumored, secretly runs the Biden administration. And of course, we have a opposition which is disintegrating. John Pesciuto, he's currently being sued by exiled Liberal MLC Moira Deeming after successfully getting her expelled from the Liberal Party room after the Let Women Speak event in Melbourne last year, when Thomas Sewell and the National Socialist Network turned up. Now, so John Pesciuto, he's refusing to settle that. Now he's just been slapped with a lawsuit from Kelly J. Keene and Angie Jones, who was also there at the Let Women Speak Melbourne. And there could be a leadership spill at the Victorian Liberal Party room tomorrow. So we'll stay tuned. But who would replace Pesciuto? We don't know. I mean, they've hardly got any talent. They've more got dead wood on the back bench. Now, staying in Victoria, another tragedy has besieged Ballarat after there was a 22-year-old Patrick Stevenson was charged with the murder of a 51-year-old mother of three, Samantha Murphy. Still haven't found her body in the Mount Clear area. Now there has been a death at the Ballarat gold mine when there was a mine collapse after a dangerous air legging drilling had happened. So 37-year-old miner Kurt Horrigan died, and a 21-year-old is in a critical condition. 28 miners were rescued. And the Australian Workers Union, they're launching industrial action against the owner of the Ballarat gold mine. You sort of hoped that if there was any silver lining in a mine collapse, they might come across the body of Samantha Murphy, but not to be. So it's very tragic what is going on, what has happened to Ballarat. Now, last week, the Victorian courts lifted the suppression order on the identity of the Palestinian activist who is charged with kidnapping and torturing a fellow Muslim because he worked for a Jewish employer. So Sherry Markson on Sky News, Jewish herself, and Avi Yemeni, Rebel News, Jewish himself, they employed the services of media lawyer Justin Quill, who were able to identify pro-Palestinian activists, or more like pro-Hamas activists, Laura Allam, who has a 27-year-old who is on bail for kidnapping and assault charges. So she is the CEO of the Al Janna Foundation, a nonprofit that aims to raise Lebanon back to its feet and has drawn the outrage from Jewish groups in recent months for publicly celebrating the deaths of Israelis in the ongoing Israel-Hamas war. Now, one of her co-accused has also been named Mohammed Sharib, but there's two other masked men. So she arranged to meet him outside his house, and then there was three masked men who kidnapped him and kicked him in the head, allegedly. And so they stomped on him, including his head and back, and did this until he handed over a mobile phone and Apple Watch, breaking his finger in the process, allegedly. So they've been unable to intimidate this witness, this victim, into withdrawing his witness statement. And so Laura Allam spoke with Maureen Faruqi at a pro-Palestine rally outside Parliament House, where Maureen Faruqi and David Shoebridge from the Greens were speaking. Now, of course, the Albanese government is importing 2,000 so-called Palestinian refugees into Australia. There was a number who had their refugee visas cancelled mid-air because of security concerns, because some of them had less than 24 hours for a security check. One was granted in less than 1 hour. And one thing that we know is that the Home Affairs Department, Claire O'Neill, the Minister, and Immigration Minister Andrew Giles are just basically incompetent, but they've now reversed their decision and they're now coming to Australia. And then last week we found out government lawyers discovered that the visas granted to the 149 criminal non-citizens released into the community after the High Court decision, those visas were invalid, and so charges against the 10 released detainees who allegedly breached their visa conditions and are now withdrawn. And so a new ministerial decree has had to be issued to fix this technical inconsistency in the original laws passed. They tried to blame the Abbott government, even though they amended the laws in November to put the preventative detention regime in for these criminal detainees. Paleo Conservative Australian Claire O'Neill is a Turak girl married to a surgeon. Are you telling me she doesn't live in her own electorate of Hotham, amongst the multicultural community of Chinese and Indians? Her office is in Clayton, where it's near where the Unshackled office used to be. And so her office is in the main street of Clayton Road, amongst all of these Indian and Chinese businesses. So you're telling me she actually doesn't live there. And now the Labour Party is trying to fast track a high court decision in the case of an Iranian refugee not cooperating with authorities, because he claims he's under persecution because of his bisexuality. So he is known as ASF-17. And if the High Court rules that his detention is invalid, then basically all asylum seekers need to do is not cooperate with authorities and they can get a ticket out into the community. This could literally open up the floodgates, and the people smugglers, they will just tell people wanting to get to Australia, yeah, you just get to Australia, not cooperate with authorities, and then you'll be released. We could still be subject to a UK-style English Channel invasion, and the only way to fix it would be through a referendum to basically get to abolish the separation of powers. So that would be very difficult. Obviously, the UK, the Conservative government, they are too cowardly to withdraw from the Council for Europe, the European Commission on Human Rights, to get the Rwandan solution working, relocate illegals to Rwanda. Rishi Sunak has deferred it until after Easter. Remember, he made a bet with Piers Morgan for £1,000 for charity that he would send people to Rwanda before the end of the year. Certainly, Rishi Sunak won't be prime minister by the end of the year. Keir Starmer is the prime minister in waiting. The Conservatives are facing a electoral wipeout where they could be reduced to a rump of seats. And there's so many retiring MPs because they can see their seats disappearing. But obviously, there are Tories MPs their ultimate who are staying on, and their ultimate aim is to, well, political survival. And obviously, for a lot of them, many of them undermined Liz Truss when she became prime minister, voted by the Tory membership because Rishi Sunak was their chosen one, and he was plotting his leadership campaign while Boris Johnson was prime minister, backstabbed Boris Johnson. They should never have got rid of Boris Johnson. Yes, he was a liar, coward, philanderer. I mean, Carrie Johnson gave him a blowjob in the Westminster building, allegedly. So yes, Boris Johnson was a deeply flawed leader, but he was still the best that they had. There's even talk that Rishi Sunak's allies will rig the rules, the 1922 committee rules, so it'll make it harder to blast him out. There's talk about replacing him with Penny Mordaunt, who's the left-wing globalist Tory MP who they twice scuttled for the leadership, though it doesn't seem like she's interested in getting a hospital pass to lose the election. Rishi Sunak, he believes in his own excellence. He still thinks that he can win it. Trust the plan, man. And I think his equally delusional Chancellor Jeremy Cunt Hunt also believes that. Trust the plan, man. They're driving the Tory party off the cliff, but they still think they're going to make it to the other side. And now Paleo Conservative says Brits should elect patriotic alternative. Well, The Conservative government has Michael Gove, even though he's the levelling up minister, he was the person who was put in charge with this new extremism definition, and mentioned Patriotic Alternative as a far right extremist group because they don't want it to seem like they're just targeting Islamist groups. They want to seem like they're the radical centrists, which is of course just a bullshit coward position.
Across this house, I am sure that we would agree that organisations such as the British National Socialist Movement and Patriotic Alternative, who promote neo-Nazi ideology, argue for forced repatriation, a white ethnostate, and the targeting of minority groups for intimidation, are precisely the type of groups about which we should be concerned and whose activities we will assess against the new definition. The activities of the extreme right wing are a growing worry. The targeting of both Muslim and Jewish communities and individuals by these groups is a profound concern requiring concerted action. And
now, Michael Gove, for some reason, the intellectual dark web wankers and the think tanks love him because he talks about liberal democratic values, but he's the most duplicitous and also untrustworthy ministers that has been in that Conservative government. I mean, he backstabbed Boris Johnson twice for his own leadership ambitions. It's also, I saw Unity News Network allege, I think it was them, that he is a closeted homosexual, has a lavender marriage. So this was on the UK's official website. Stupid cookies. So this is the definition here. So should I try and speak like Michael Gove? Extremism is the promotion or advancement of an ideology based on violence, hatred, and intolerance that aims to negate or destroy the fundamental rights and freedoms of others, or undermine or overturn the replace the UK's system of liberal parliamentary democracy and democratic rights, or intentionally create a permissive environment for others to achieve the results. So isn't this an oxymoron that to protect, as it's part of liberal democratic values to exclude, basically outlaw, de facto outlaw, label extremists, anyone who we don't believes in liberal democracy? Isn't liberal democracy about tolerating and allowing free speech of those you disagree with? And so the purpose of this new extremism definition is to ban any funding or government engagement with such groups. And now Patriotic Alternative, they have been knocked back by the Electoral Commission of the UK. So they've been constantly thwarted. So also it says the government is also publishing a set of engagement principles which is designed to help officials to engage more widely while mitigating the risk of undertaking engagements that undermines the government core aims to maintain public confidence in government. So apparently public confidence should be in government even though they are not worthy of public confidence, uphold democratic values, protect the rights and freedoms of others. The Conservative government were one of the biggest abusers of the rights and freedoms of Brits by their COVID lockdowns and mandates policy. Michael Gove, he was one of the biggest proponents of lockdowns, as was Chancellor Jeremy Hunt. He, in fact, advocated for a China-style lockdown. Now, Patriotic Alternative, they were originally invited on GB News to talk about the new extremism definition. They said, yep, sure. But the big wigs at GB News said, no, you won't be. It won't be doing that. They're now on our banned list because GB News is much more sanitized now to be Ofcom compliant. One of the last remaining real voices on GB News, Neil Oliver, he's gone to online. So his show goes for 2 hours, but they condense it for a 1 hour broadcast Ofcom compliant version. And Talk TV is being taken off the air and is going to be online only. So it's not going to be called Talk TV. It's going to be called Talk Stream now. And so instead, GB News just ran some quotes from these groups that Michael Gove, using parliamentary privilege so he can't be sued, labelled extremist.
Yeah, Michael Gove, he actually mentioned a collection of groups. He used basically what they call parliamentary privilege, which basically means that you can't get sued, essentially. So he used that privilege to mention five groups, three of which he would say basically fall under the kind of Islamist branch, two of which he would describe as falling under the far right potential branch. Now, what he's saying is he's mentioned these organisations, but he's not saying that they necessarily will fall under this description. That is yet to be assessed. We're going to have a list in a couple of weeks, I think maybe 3 weeks or so, where we get all of these different lists. But notwithstanding that, I can tell you some of these lists, some of these groups that have been named today in Parliament, they certainly are not happy. They've been responding to this. So, for example, I can tell you now, MEND, this is one of the groups, they said that this is a blatant attack on civil liberties. The Muslim Association of Britain said it was a blatant effort to stifle dissenting voices. Cage said it would challenge the government's deep dive into authoritarianism. And the Patriotic Alternative said it was a dangerous step towards a totalitarian state. See, I find it quite interesting. And I was listening to a lady from one of these groups. She was giving an interview.
Now, Patriotic Alternative put out a statement on their website. I'm not sure if I'll be able to read it all out on account of my voice. Let me know if you'd like me to read it out for you, because anyone from Patriotic Alternative is welcome on Wilms Front. I've interviewed Mark Collette, Laura Tower, James Goddard, Reverend James Costello, who has been imprisoned for 5 years for posting his religious beliefs, creativity, branch of Christianity, pro-white Christianity, on a website. Laura Towler's husband, Sam Malaya, is in prison for 2 years for posting lawful stickers, but because he has anti-Semitic thoughts in his mind, he needed to be sent to prison for 2 years. Paleoconservative Australian says, do a Mark Collette voice. I'll try to do it. Today in Parliament, you listed Patriotic Alternative as one of five groups in Britain that are being assessed to whether they fall under the government's new definition of extremism. The fact that such actions are being taken without due diligence or parliamentary oversight or debate is anti-democratic in itself, but more worrying is that from this point onwards, anyone rejecting the government terms liberal democracy could call afoul of this draconian legislation. This presents a major threat to both freedom of speech and freedom of association as a dangerous step towards a totalitarian state where those do not adhere to state doctrine are silenced and have their human rights curtailed. This would be bad enough. However, you went further and used your parliamentary privilege to make several completely misleading claims about Patriotic Alternative, which we seek to rectify here. Your first false claim is that Patriotic Alternative seeks forced repatriation of ethnic minority groups. This is completely and demonstrably false. We have a policy of voluntary repatriation for settled immigrants, and the only people we would seek to forcibly deport are illegal immigrants and foreign criminals, something that the Conservative Party has repeatedly pledged to do but failed to make good on. We also oppose mass immigration, a view that is held by a large section of the voting population and something that the Conservative Party have again repeatedly pledged to get under control while reality increasing net migration to new heights. Your second claim is that Patriotic Alternative seek a white ethnostate. To clarify, we state in our policies that the British people are made up of the English, Northern Irish, Scottish and Welsh. We are the indigenous people of the United Kingdom and they have an ancestral claim to it. The United Kingdom is the only place where British people and they alone can realize their natural, cultural, religious, and historical right to self-determination. As such, we will pass a nation-state law to enshrine this principle and ensure the British people never become a minority or second-class citizens in their ancestral homeland. In short, we stake a claim to the ancestral homeland of our people and declare that our homeland should be governed for the benefit of our people. You are an ardent supporter of the State of Israel, a state that has a nation-state law worded in a very similar way to the proposal that we are in favor of. If you support such a law for the Israeli people, why are you so offended that the indigenous people of the British Isles would also campaign for a similar law in order to protect our cultural and ethnic interests? This would not be a creation of a white ethno-state, as you put it, but in fact an ethno-state ethno-states for the constituent nations of the British Isles. On the mainland, that would be the English, the Scottish, and the Welsh. We believe that the indigenous people of these islands should never become a minority and should remain what we term a supermajority. This, however, does not mean that those of migrant descent should not remain here or that such people forcibly removed, unless under the conditions that they're here illegally had committed crimes on British soil. Your third claim is that we endorse neo-Nazi ideology. We reject this claim. In fact, we have repeatedly attempted to register Patriotic Alternative as a political party in order to participate in the democratic process and stand in elections. It is, however, the Home Office, which currently operates under your very government, which has pressured the Electoral Commission in order to prevent us from registering as a political party, basically denying us our democratic rights to stand in elections, and also denying the public the right to vote for us. This represents a bureaucratic impediment to the democratic process that you claim to be in favor of. Your final claim is that we target minority groups for intimidation. This is a complete and total fabrication. We are a lawful community group that campaigns on a range of issues. We have never targeted any group with violence or carried out acts that are intimidatory. In reality, the very opposite is true. What's more, we have members and supporters from ethnic minority backgrounds repeatedly reached out to other ethnic groups for discussions on such issues and immigration and multiculturalism. Patriotic Alternative is wholeheartedly opposed to violence or confrontation, and through our lawful activities, we seek to engage with people who hold similar views and give those people a healthy and peaceful outlet for their justified frustrations with the current British political establishment. Patriotic Alternative wish to be involved in the democratic process, and the claim that we are extremists is absurd and is worrying. To create a peaceful community group campaigning groups under this legislation, not only a threat to our human rights, but represent the creeping totalitarian nature of a government that brands itself conservative. It's nothing more than communism via the back door. We respectfully request that you remove our name from the list and you put an end to this anti-democratic crowd lab that threatens to infringe on the rights of all British citizens who wish to speak freely and organise democratically. I mean, this the Conservative government, this is part of their desperation to label the... Remember, Rishi Sunak said in his emergency press conference outside Number 10 that the far left and the far right are the same side of the coin, and said that George Galloway's democratic election in Rochdale for the Workers' Party of Britain was was beyond alarming. Democracy is apparently extremely dangerous to our democracy. And so and George Galloway, he predicted that the Conservative government would go after the civil liberties of Muslims. They're going after the civil liberties of everybody in their desperation. So there could be an early election if Rishi Sunak thinks he's going to get rolled, because he believes that he is the... He is the virtue of excellence, and he will again trust the plan man, which is what the QAnon tards used to say. I mean, you could call them conservatons. They're that delusional. And now, going back to Patriotic Alternative's statement that they want to preserve the British Isle for the British Indigenous people and be a supermajority. Well, all of the constituent countries of Britain England and its capital city, London, Scotland, and now Wales are governed by non-Indigenous Brits, or Brits who have non-Indigenous ancestry. The latest is which completes the clean sweep of the British Isles is the election. Hang on, I'm just getting my notes out here. I've got too many windows open here. Vorhan Gething. This is what he said when he was selected by the Welsh Labour Party members to replace Mark Drakeford, or as Alex Belfield call him, Mr. Dickford, Mr. Prickford. And this is what one of the first things he said.
But today we turn a page in the book of our nation's history, a history that we write together. Not just because I have the honour of becoming the first black leader in any European country, but because a generational dial has jumped too. Like Ken and Jane, devolution is not something that I have had to get used to or to adapt to or to apologise for. Devolution, Welsh solutions to Welsh problems and opportunities, is in my blood. It's what I've always known through my adult political life. And that's the same for a growing number of our citizens. And I want us to use this moment as a starting point for a more confident march into the future.
And now, to be fair, Vorhan Gething is half Indigenous Welsh. So he was born in Zambia, which is used to be a African British colony. So he has a Indigenous Welsh father and a black Zambian mother. So he's the same level of black as Barack Obama. Because remember, Barack Obama is not a traditional African American. His father, Barack Obama Sr., was a native Kenyan, and his mother was a white Hawaiian. But they identify with their black side, even though they're only half black. Well, they are physically black. And remember, we're supposed to live in a colorblind society, yet it's always groundbreaking when you're supposed to see color when they're selected to lead your country. And this is his deputy who introduced him, Carolyn Harris, deputy leader of Welsh Labour. So she has ridiculous glasses and dyed purple hair. So you basically got a fat Libs of TikTok caricature. And so you've got leading the British Isles now, Prime Minister of the United Kingdom, ethnically Indian, the Mayor of London, Sadiq Khan, ethnically Pakistani, First Minister of Scotland, Hamza Yousaf, ethnically Pakistani, the Tower Search of Ireland, Leo Varadkar, he's half Indian, he's half Indigenous Irish, and then of course you've now got Vorhan Gething, who is half Indigenous Welsh. So that is the state of the UK governments at the moment. And I think devolved government was clearly a mistake. I mean, it was evident during COVID that Mark Drakeford in Wales and Nicola Sturgeon in Scotland just introduced ridiculous draconian COVID rules as a power trip, and also to try and put pressure on the conservative UK government to go harder. It was a disgusting power play, but racism is still a problem in the UK despite all of You don't call it the glass ceiling when it comes to black and brown people. I don't know if there's a different expression for that. Because there was a story in The Guardian, if I would just bring it up here. So at a meeting in 2019, the biggest Tory donor, Frank Hester, told colleagues that looking at Diane Abbott, a far-left Labour MP, makes you want to hate all black women, and said the MP should be shot. I'm laughing because he would have already been called a disgusting racist for saying that. Looking at Diane Abbott, wanted to make you hate all black women, but then he added it saying she should be shot. Obviously, he didn't really mean that. He's just basically venting how much he hates her, and she is truly a vile individual. So she was a shadow Home Secretary under Jeremy Corbyn's leadership, Diane Abbott, and she is an anti-white racist, though she claims that there cannot be racism against white people. She was suspended from the Labour Party for a letter stating that, but not for that, because she also mentioned that there's no racism against Jews and travellers, gypsies, which of course was the outrageous bit, because Jews and gypsies were killed by the Nazi regime. So she was suspended from the Labour Party for that, because Keir Starmer is still paranoid about the ghost of Jeremy Corbyn and Labour's anti-Semitism problem. And now she claims that she's the most trolled and racially abused MP, Diane Abbott. She's been an MP for Hackney for 37 years, since 1987. And she doesn't have a car. She takes public transport. So she's one of the most exposed MPs, yet nothing's happened to her. But of course, she always wants to be the victim. Though the actual disturbing thing about Frank Hester is that he runs a healthcare technology firm, Phoenix Partnership, TPP, which has been paid more than £400 million by the NHS and other government bodies since 2016 to look after the 60 million UK medical records, and have profited from £135 million of contracts with the Department of Health and Social Care in less than 4 years. He gave $5 million to the Conservatives in May 2023, and this month, and a further $5 million donation. So this is basically, like, he is a crony capitalist. This is a quid pro quo. There's so much corruption in the NHS system. So he gets the contracts from the Conservatives who run the NHS. It goes back to them in donations. And Michael Gove, he is also under investigation for not putting PPE contracts during COVID under tender, putting them in the VIP lane and giving them to his mates. There's so much corruption. Remember, because it was emergency, it was more important to get these things out the door. Remember, Frydenberg said, oh, it doesn't matter if JobKeeper went to Harvey Norman, who didn't need it. It was about getting money out the door and saving jobs. That's always an excuse for the COVID waste, which we're still paying back for. The last bit of British news is that Jeremy Vine, vile BBC radio presenter and host of Channel 5 Vine on 5, who is a cuntish cyclist who drives around London with a pervy camera on his head, preying on motorists to ruin their day and shame them on his social media by posting his 360 cycling videos to his social media, claiming that they've put him in danger I mean, isn't cycling about getting from A to B? I think it's worse in the UK. These cyclists believe that they are the most entitled to the road, and there's a bunch of them. They're cycling Mikey, who they report all of these motorists who they believe have violated the highway code, and they always nag the police to charge them. So Jeremy Vine is suing former footballer Joey Barton for calling him a bike nonce, and this is because the reason why Joey Barton responded is because in this manner is because on his Vine on 5 show, Jeremy Vine claimed without any evidence that Joey Barton had a brain injury, because how could he oppose female commentators on the men's game? And he's also being sued by one of the female pundits that he criticized, Inai Aluku. So she is suing Joey Barton for comparing her and another female commentator on men's game, Lucy Ward, saying that they are the Fred and Rosemary West of football games, murdering football commentary on those games. She's also suing him for saying that she is a race card player. And so she posted on Instagram, Joey Barton recently published a post on X which made untrue, inaccurate, and defamatory allegations about me and my family. It is particularly harmful that Mr. Barton involved my family in that post, suggesting my late father, a distinguished Nigerian senator, was in receipt of dodgy money and that I had benefited from his corruption, which paid for my lavish lifestyle, including Rolls Royce, car, and private education. Mr. Barton also publicly stated that he knew where my family lived. These and other allegations he made in the post are all entirely untrue and have caused me extreme harm and distress. These were made just days after I said public I was genuinely scared, following Mr. Barton's repeated online post targeting me using extreme violent comparisons in previous weeks. And she claims that she had to flee overseas because of her Joey Barton's criticisms, presumably to her native Nigeria, where I hope that she's also taking remedial math lessons, because of course not only is she a terrible commentator, but she also... one of the things that she said is that he scored 19 goals in 40 games. That's basically a goal of the game. You do the math. No, 19 goals in 40 games, that's a goal every two games. And now Jeremy Vine, he was the main driver behind the imprisoning of Alex Belfield, one of my favorite YouTubers, the voice of reason, for 5.5 years for the crime of making a few videos about him and sending some emails to the BBC. So Vine was able to get a whole bunch of other BBC people to claim that Alex Belfield had stalked them over a period of 9 years, even though he never went to the house. Vine put on a De Vera Abramovich type of hyperbolic performance, cried on the stand saying he's the Jimmy Savile of trolling. I'm not sure how that works. What is the Jimmy Savile of trolling? Jimmy Savile was a pedophile. That's completely different from alleged trolling. Although one of the reasons why Joey Barton called Jeremy Vine a bike nonce is because he posted this, that there's Jeremy Vine with convicted pedophile Rolf Harris. And Also, going back to this article here. Joey Barton, he put a Photoshop photo of Jeremy Vine riding his bike with his pervy camera near a primary school, and said that if you see this man near a school, call 999. And so this bike nonce hashtag has been trending since the start of the year. Nonce is an English slang word for pedophile, or pedophile as they say it. And there's a channel called the Sheep News Network that has also put out the bike nonce song, which will probably be used against evidence of Joey Barton. Now, Joey Barton posted on here, he's got 2.8 million followers, so he's got a lot more than Jeremy Vine, which is also why Jeremy Vine wants to shut him up, because, well, it seems that Jeremy Vine, he's as a TV and radio pundit, he's more than happy to dish it out and stalk motorists, accusing them of road crimes, but of course can't take it, and so he's trying to either imprison or bankrupt people who are critical of him. So this was the lawsuit. So initially, Vine demanded £25,000 and deleting of the tweets X to go to charity, but now it's gone up to £250,000. Joey Barton, he is planning a counter defamation suit for Jeremy Vine, saying without evidence that he had a brain injury, and has launched a GoFundMe. This is not for Joey Martin's defense of defense against Jeremy Vine's defamation for calling him a bike nonce. So this is for Joey Barton to sue Jeremy Vine for saying that he had a brain injury there. So it's got £11,000 so far. And Joey Barton, like, this is what he has been known for throughout his footballing career, whether it be physically or verbally. If someone physically attacks him, he's hit them back physically 10 times harder. If they verbally abused him, he's verbally abused them back 10 times harder. So Jeremy Vine, if you're going to say I have a brain injury, I'll call you a bike nonce. That's how, like, Joey Barton, yes, he's a hothead, but he doesn't just have a go at people for no reason. So Don Browning says, Vine is the useful idiot who the regime will dispose of first, though there's doubt. Well, as I've said previously, we do hope that Jeremy Vine is accidentally collected by a lorry and de-skinned on the pavement. I'm not inciting anything. I'm just saying that I hope that an accident, not something intentional, an accident like that happens to Jeremy Vine, because he is like the scummiest person in the UK. He's absolute grub. Low life, but he's got it wasn't enough that he got the prime BBC Two radio slot. He also got the talking head a Channel 5 show called Vine on Fire, where it's just a bunch of talking heads just talking about inane hot topics. I can't believe the people who watch garbage like that and actually like Jeremy Vine and think that he's wonderful cyclists. It's, I mean, no wonder the UK is in such crummy shape if people like Jeremy Vine are idolized. Now, going over to the US now, where there could be a fresh invasion from the sea of Haitians, potentially cannibal Haitians, because the Caribbean island of Haiti, where that used to be a French colony, is... It it is now in a state of lawlessness and is being led by a drug criminal warlord who goes by the name of Jimmy Barbecue Sherziva. But according to the mainstream media now, there is not cannibal gangs who are eating people in Haiti. That's just fake news by far-right conspiracy theorists. And don't call Haiti a shithole like Trump did 10 years ago. The U.S. border, ICE and also the Department of Defense is preparing for both a land and sea invasion by Haitian asylum seekers. Many people have commented, given how obese Americans are, they'll think that they're really yummy, though it'd just be all fat. It wouldn't be the sort of, you'd say the juicy meat. I would have to say I would rather eat human flesh than lab-grown meat or bugs or plant-based meat. Have you also heard of that joke? This meat is plant-based. Which plant? The meat packing plant. So Linda Hunter says Jimmy Barbecue isn't the baddest guy. And did anyone see there the latest James O'Keefe secret gay date with that Biden officially just said get rid of the Second Amendment and open the border. James O'Keefe with his Oh My God Media, which stands for O'Keefe Media Group, he's basically sticking on glasses and managing to get these gays working in the Biden administration to go on dates, so they don't know that it's him yet, because they're gays, they can't help but brag about everything. So I'm not sure if you saw this Babylon Bee headline here. James O'Keefe says he'll be gay with as many men as needed to get to the bottom of deep state corruption. Pardon the pun. Now, let's move on to one of the biggest Twitter X spats, and that is between Candace Owens of the Daily Wire and Rabbi Schmoly, who touts himself as the United States' most influential rabbi. And so he is a relationship and sex expert. That's what he bills himself as. He's sort of like the real version of Roz Focker from the Meets the Parents trilogy. If you haven't seen that, Barbara Streisand plays Gaylord Fucker's Ben Stiller's character's mother, who's a sex therapist. So his daughter, Rabbi Schmoly, runs a kosher sex business in Tel Aviv. And because so it all started when Candace Owens revealed that ever since Kanye West said that he was going to go DEFCON on the Jews when he was on X, she's been threatened by him.
I very much abstained from speaking much about the issue because people were so emotional that people couldn't hear, even if I had shared, and even when Kanye did share that he was speaking about specific people in Hollywood that he believed were coming after him and were trying to control him. He actually named some of those individuals. He shared personal text messages of a friend of his, a personal trainer to the stars, who again happens to be Jewish, who was threatening to put him in the hospital and to drug him against his will. Harley Pasternak is his name, and the media barely reported on those text messages that he shared publicly because obviously he was enemy number one. And here's what else I will tell you. When that Kanye situation went down, I was being threatened by a person named Rabbi Shmuley, person that Michael Jackson put on his enemy list, the person that I had never heard of, was threatening me and saying that unless I came out and said things explicitly against Kanye, he would effectively ruin my life. He said that he would take out a front page ad and smear me as an anti-Semite. And it wasn't just him, it was also his daughter. They were messaging me saying, don't mess with Jews. Very bizarre stuff, and they have not stopped, to be clear. And him and his daughter have consistently pulled clips from this show, taken them out of context, and tried to convince Jewish people that I hate them.
Now, because Candace Owens went public that Rabbi Shmuley had been threatening her for a couple of years now, it is on. And so Rabbi Shmuley has basically gone DEFCON on his Twitter X account against Candace Owens. And so he's released a number of videos attacking her. He says he's going to sue and bankrupt her. And he claims that his daughter doesn't run a sex shop. Well, let's see how he puts it. And he also claims that Candace Owens is sexually repressed.
Hi, everyone. I just saw that Comrade Candace, the Stalinist sex police, the woman who exhibits incredible amounts of repression and has her head in everybody's bedroom, which is really creepy, creepy Candace, retweeted something that I wrote yesterday, and she said, I'm not an anti-Semite if I don't want to buy your daughter's novelty product. She didn't say the novelty product. She's actually kind of gross, and she's very specific. I've learned throughout my life that repressed people have a real issue with sex. They make it dirty. They want it to remain pornographic. They don't care about making marriages passionate. They don't care about making intimacy between husband and wife something real. All they want to do is just leave sex as something dirty. And that's where the pornographers take over, and that's where adultery comes in and infidelity. But Comrade Candace, the Stalinist sex police, has got serious, it appears, serious sexual issues. Now, she said that doesn't make her anti-Semite. Of course it doesn't. That just makes her repressed. What makes her an anti-Semite is her love of Kanye West's love of Hitler. That is beyond sick and twisted. What makes her an anti-Semite is falsely accusing Jews and Israel of genocide, which again makes you beyond sick, the ultimate blood libel. What makes her an anti-Semite is saying that Jews run, again, it's always sex. She's obsessed with sex. Again, another indication of the severe repression. That Jews run Hollywood sex rings to blackmail black artists. That makes you an anti-Semite and pretty sick. Get your head out of the gutter, Candace. God help us. What makes you an anti-Semite is that you insinuate that rabbis and I murdered Michael Jackson. Yeah, just like we murdered Jesus. By the way, we also did Elvis and we also did Kennedy. I was on a grassy knoll. I hope no one had this video. I hope Zapruder didn't catch me there shooting Kennedy as well. We Jews kill, Candace. That's what we do. We love blood. What makes her an anti-Semite is that she says that every Jewish knee is going to bow to Christ. I wrote Kosher Jesus. I bet you that Candace Owens is a total ignoramus when it comes to Christian scripture, the New Testament, the book of Mark, the book of John, the book of Luke. Read my book and you'll see the Jewish history from the New Testament, from Christian scripture about Jesus. But she wants all Jews to embrace Christ as Lord and Savior, or we're going to probably just like burn in hell, Candace, right? That was the justification for the slaughter and the murder of Jews for 2,000 years. They were better that we killed them here than they burned for eternity in hell. Maybe Candace thinks that both things are going to happen to us. I don't know. What makes her guilty of libel and defamation is that she said that I want to kill her now and that I killed Michael Jackson. There will be legal repercussions to that. There has to be, because this is a nation of laws. And unless we stop libel against the Jews and defamation against the Jews, we will never stop anti-Semitism. God bless you guys.
So that's just one of his rants against Candace Owens. In another video, he said it's anti-Semitic to claim that Jeffrey Epstein was a Mossad agent used to blackmail U.S. celebrities and politicians. And he also claimed that he got one of his daughter's kosher sex products and said, oh, it's just oils here, which is just a fancy term for sex drugs, because, well, the point of those oils is to, well, for partners to get in the mood. And he doesn't mention the butt plugs and dildos that are for sale on Kosher Sex. And apparently you can get some discounts now at kosher.sex, made in Israel. His daughter shops in Tel Aviv. So if you use the code, discount code Candace O. And so this is how he and his daughter get away with saying, we're not selling filth sex toys. This is not about a pornography. We don't like pornography. This is kosher sex. If you just put kosher in front of your sex shop name, then it's perfectly fine. So it's a wholesome religious products. I don't know many religious people who would Christians buy butt plugs and dildos if it had say Christian in front of it, because that seems to be the grift there. And now Michael Jackson, his friendship with Rabbi Shmuley in the early 2000s. Then coincidentally, Michael Jackson gets charged with child molestation, which he was found not guilty of. But it was quite a coincidence there that as soon as he entered his relationship with Rabbi Shmuley, he got charged. Brucey says he said they were novelty products and said Candace was the sixth one for actually stating what they were. Not a novelty product. So I'll tell you what, but an eight ball, one of those, what do you call them? Those cube things that they're novelty products, not butt plugs and dildos. Now, moving on to the TikTok, it's called Divestment or Ban Bill. So the U.S. House of Representatives, they say, it's passed bipartisan by about 350 votes to 65, that TikTok has to be either divested from Chinese Communist Party influence, because the CCP can access TikTok's data at any time for its cyber espionage. But the actual legislation, the devil is in the detail, pardon the pun, it's what this legislation is controlled by a foreign adversary. This is what it says, and it's up to the president to decide what he believes is a significant threat to the national security of the United States. A public notice proposing such determination, a public report to Congress submitted no less than 30 days before such determination, describing the specific national security center involved and containing a classified an excellent description of what assets would be need to be divested and execute a qualified divestiture. So this can be applied to any social media which it's deemed to be controlled by a foreign adversary, which can be direct or indirect own at least 20% stake. So they could potentially force a divestment or ban on other social media they don't like, such as a Gab and Telegram, because remember Telegram, it was founded by some Russian brothers who, though they're dissidents of Putin just got reelected for another 6-year term, 87% of the vote. Now they talk about a TikTok being a national security risk because of the data that it accumulates. But what the thing that has prompted this congressional legislation is not that that TikTok is promoting degeneracy and contributing to the decay of U.S. culture and society. I mean, it's genius subversion by the CCP, because they're trying to get their birth rate up. their CCP. So on their great firewall of China, they've banned LGBT content and their TikTok is all wholesome. Yet TikTok over in the United States is promoting the trans agenda, I guess, aiming to, the CCP wants as many US youngsters to sterilize themselves through gender treatments. And half of America is on TikTok now. They've got the CCP have got them addicted, and they've said to TikTok users, contact your congressman to stop this bill. But what has actually led to congressional action is not that TikTok is promoting degeneracy. It's because TikTok is promoting anti-Zionist pro Palestine content. That is where Bin Laden's letter to America from 2003 went viral. Because the ADL do not now they'll fine the ADL with TikTok promoting degeneracy, and it seems that Amy Schumer and Deborah Messing, Jewish celebrities who attended a meeting with TikTok decrying the anti-Semitic content. So they're perfectly, it's the same with all of these Jewish donors to universities. They're fine with all the anti-white indoctrination until it included anti-Zionist indoctrination as well. So in 6 months, either TikTok will be banned or be forced to be sold. But guess who wants to go and buy TikTok? Mossad-linked Stephen Mnuchin, who is a former US Secretary of the Treasury, is getting together a bunch of investors, a Mossad, Israel, a Zionist allied, to buy TikTok. And so I assume that TikTok will still be promoting degenerate content when it's owned by Mossad-linked investors. But the data, instead of going to the Chinese Communist Party, will go back to Israel, maybe for blackmail purposes, like, oh, you've been looking at TikTok, all of this degenerate content, so you better do what you say, otherwise we're going to expose your TikTok use. So yes, it seems that TikTok, no matter who owns it, its degenerate content is not going to change, but it's going to become a lot more kosher. We're going to get a kosher degenerate app. And obviously, there's a lot of Jews in business, and this sex pornographic industry is very lucrative, and it's not just sex and porn anymore. It's those fetish industries, those puppy masks. The owner of OnlyFans donated $11 million, reportedly, to the America-Israel Political Action Group. So his name is Leonid Razisvi. So he denied it when he was questioned, but when there was evidence, he hung up the phone. So it's listed he and his wife, Katie Chudrinsky. So, and of course, OnlyFans, it's a money printer. There's so much money in there. I think a rabbi owns Pornhub. So again, that's what I said. It's big business, the porn industry. And as is all types of degeneracy. Now, a couple of other news items before we finish. So there are more Boeing flights, flights on Boeing aircrafts, where there is an in-air incident. Now, there was a whistleblower for Boeing. So his name was John Barnett. He has allegedly committed suicide by shooting himself in the head. Though he told his friends he was not suicidal. So he is a victim of DEI. Critics of DEI must die. That seems to be it. I mean, did Boeing call up the suicide hotline? Have you seen this meme? Suicide hotline, how may I help you? Hillary Clinton says, I'd like to place an order. Now, the Georgia RICO charges against Trump over alleged election interference and meddling in Fulton County, Georgia, it has just gotten more corrupt. An Atlanta judge who donated to Fannie Willis, who admitted in a court that she embezzled campaign finance funds. The judge issued an ultimatum as long as she dumps Wade from the case, it can continue. This is Judge Scott McAfee. Now, I'm not sure if it was that judge or a different judge which threw out some of the charges against Trump, but this is the most corrupt investigation and prosecution in U.S. history. And even though it's a corrupt investigation by a corrupt corrupt district attorney, it can proceed. They're throwing every charge they can at Trump. They're just going back to regular slander. They've tried to claim Trump said if Biden wins, there'll be a bloodbath. That was in relation to the Chinese dumping cars made in Mexico into the United States. This was the context.
Unbelievable. When I see it going, but I got to know all these people. They're very smart, very streetwise. And I would do the same thing. If I had prisons that were teeming with MS-13 and all sorts of people that they've got to take care of for the next 50 years, right? Young people, they're in jail for years. And if you call them people, I don't know if you call them people. In some cases, they're not people, in my opinion. But I'm not allowed to say that because the radical left says that's a terrible thing to say. They say you have to vote against him because did you hear what he said about humanity? I've seen the humanity, and these are bad. These are animals, okay? And we have to stop it. We can't have another Lakin. We have so many people. We have so many people being hurt so badly and being killed. They're sending their prisoners to see us. They're sending and they're bringing them right to the border. And they're dropping them off and we're allowing them to come in. And these are tougher than anybody we've got in the country. These are hardened criminals. And we've got hundreds of thousands of them. And we're not going to take it. We're just not going to take it. They are destroying our country. I'm telling you, he's the worst president we've ever had and the most incompetent president we've ever had. And he's also the most crooked president we have ever had. Now, other than that, I think he's doing an excellent job. Do we agree?
And that brings me to the end of Tim's News Explosion. My voice is going to go. There's a few stories didn't get to, such as Emmanuel Macron's wife, Brigitte Macron, allegedly being born a man, in addition to being a groomer, but might discuss that another time. Remember, if you want to support Unshackled Productions and the work of the Unshackled, our Unshackled Productions archive are posted at the unshackled.substack.com. We can take out an annual $50 membership, monthly $5 membership, or founding member $500 per year. Hint, hint, paleo-conservative Australian. I haven't come across your name in the new subscribers. Also have the unshackled.net/membership. I will see you all next Monday. Hopefully I will be feeling better. There's no Wilmsfront this Sunday unless I'll let you know if one suddenly lines up. The Theorist with Andy Nolte is cancelled. But the report from Tiger Mountain with Richard Wilson is still going. There's a report every week. And he continues to be a regular guest on Sam Newman's You Cannot Be Serious podcast. Thank you so much for watching and dealing with my voice. So I will see you all next Monday. Good night. Stay safe. Stay sane. Stay well. And also stay white-pilled, everybody. Good night.
Tim's News Explosion. 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 Tim's News Explosion.